Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm here today with Lisa Diener. We're talking with her because she's new at homeschooling. This is her first year, and sometimes those experiences are so fresh in our mind. And I just appreciate you taking this time to talk to us. I first want to go a little bit over some of your past experiences. You have your bachelor's degree in information systems. You have just started your homeschooling journey last fall, and prior to that, your children were in public school. Your youngest child has just completed kindergarten, and you have nothing critical to say to the public school system, but God laid on your heart to homeschool your children, and today you're going to take us in a very brief way through that journey. Welcome so much to Homeschool Companion. Just tell us a little bit about that first beginning experience, why you made the decision to homeschool.
Well, thank you, Rose. I appreciate this opportunity. It's something that's been on my heart for a long time, really since before my children were school age. And the opportunity became available just this year, but it's been a matter of prayer for probably 5 years. We have a number of friends who have been homeschooling for years and years, and we've watched them kind of from a distance to see the successes that they're having, the challenges, and try to learn from that, but all with the attitude of preparation for our own experience.
Now, did you develop a philosophy before you started this homeschooling adventure?
One of my friends, who herself was one of 8 children homeschooled, and she also homeschools her 5, gave me some very wise advice. And she said, before you begin homeschooling, be sure that you know why you're doing it. Take the time to read books. She shared with me a number of really good books, and one of them I'd like to recommend. It's by R.C. Sproul Jr., When You Rise Up, A Covenantal Approach to Homeschooling. I devoured that book. But in any event, she said, please write a list of reasons. And if it's okay, I'd like to share a few of those.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, number one is to glorify God in all that we do. We're not just doing this for academic reasons. We want to be salt and light in the world. And also to fulfill God-given responsibilities to raise up godly children who will become godly adults. So we are approaching learning as a lifelong exercise. And we want to instill a love of learning and skill in the children. And then, again, in accordance with Deuteronomy 6, to teach our children, to teach their children about God and God's law. And so we are making sure that the materials that we use incorporate God's law in the things that they, the facts that they present. To read, to write, to do math, all of those things are academically, but again, to the glory of God, whatsoever ye do. Also, to help my children blossom into their own God-given spiritual and academic potential, with emphasis on spiritual growth, of course, and then also, in particular, obedience. And we have our challenges in that area. You've already witnessed that this morning. But there's another good resource called Raising Godly Tomatoes, and that one, I'm halfway through the book, but I've gotten wonderful tips from that. To exercise my God-given creativity and the desire to fulfill my role as the teacher and nurturer of our children. To help my children to hide God's word in their hearts that they might not sin against Him. And finally, to help my children learn how to learn. Because they must memorize facts, they must know truth. Truth does not change. But I want them to understand also how to find out more for themselves. I'm not always going to be in their lives.
That's wonderful. You know, you talked a little bit about challenges. What was your biggest challenge when it came to sending the kids off to school and now homeschooling them?
Well, I have to say that it would probably be our schedule. We have a schedule that we try to adhere to where we begin our day at 9 a.m., which is also what the public schools do. And I'm thankful for the flexibility that allows us to reach our goals and fulfill other obligations in the home. However, the schedule, I'd like to be able to implement that a little bit better some days. But again, flexibility is good when we have an illness, when we have to go to the doctor or some other obligation around the home. We can school the beginning of the day and at the end of the day.
You know, I think that's probably a challenge for most homeschooling parents. And then once they realize that they don't have to follow any preconceived schedule that maybe the schools do, it relaxes the whole situation. Now, I want to talk about your husband and the role that he plays in this homeschooling adventure.
Well, there are two things that are important to him. And one of them, again, we are still grappling with, and that is establishing that schedule. It's important for him that we adhere to that. And so we are doing our best to honor that. He believes, and I do too, that the children need to be prepared for meeting the expectations of others, which includes meeting a time clock deadline. He's also interested in big picture outcomes. He doesn't oversee particulars of the curriculum. He delegates that to me. But he definitely wants to see results. And I do, I mean, he looks into their work, but I also make sure that the children are sharing with him things that they've learned and that they do. And they have notebooks full of work for this year.
How have your children adapted to homeschooling?
Well, again, I feel that they enjoy the flexibility of our schedule. Not having to stand outside in the rain or the snow for the bus is nice. There's an autonomy of completing. For example, Amanda completes her schoolwork ahead of time. Sometimes when we have a big day ahead and there's some things that she wants to do on a personal level, she'll go ahead and do her schoolwork the night before. Our school year began on the same day as the Frederick County system, and that was per the children's request. I was going to start the day after Labor Day because I'm kind of old-fashioned, but they wanted to start earlier than that. They were eager to get started, and that was exciting to me. We will end our school year at the end of May, as they've only had a few days off this year, and we don't do snow days, so.
You know you're homeschooling if you don't get any snow days. So tell me a little bit about your curriculum.
We use an eclectic approach. We've consulted again with numerous veteran homeschool families to choose our materials. For example, our language arts program has several components, including exposure to classical art and poetry, the rules of grammar, practicing penmanship, and spelling and vocabulary practice. Math, we use a well-known product called Singapore Math for both children, of course, at different grade levels. We also do online math games and other resources for additional enrichment. We work through our co-ops for science and art generally, and our children take piano lessons for music. Our PE is covered in the many sports activities that our children are involved in year-round. We also use history books and readers, and we take educational field trips to locations such as St. Mary's City, Williamsburg, local Civil War battlefields, that sort of thing. We use the Frederick County Public Library's e-books for children for some of our research and application, and we love those books. We also attend homeschool programs at the library, which cover a wide range of topics, including art, geography, science.
I didn't know if you knew that Maryland is the number one state for homeschooling families. It has the most per capita. So that should give you courage. But tell me about your homeschool association. How are you involved?
We're involved in two, and we call them co-ops. One of them is quite large, and there are at least 40 families involved. And what we do there is each parent must teach or co-teach a topic once a year. And that really spreads the workload around. We all are invested also. We want the best for all of our children. And so we do that, and that's once a week. And then we also once a week have a very informal co-op, which is basically four families that get together in each other's homes. We also do science experiments and fun things too, you know, little walks in the woods, nature walks, that sort of thing. There are advantages to both.
So expand a little bit on what you teach.
Well, again, this is our first year in the co-op, and I had selected the K-1 U.S. Geography to be co-taught with another parent, and we had no curriculum to work from. We basically had to develop it from scratch. I did find one lesson plan online that we were able to adapt to our needs. It's a 10-week semester, so every week we have to have a lesson, and we're teaching U.S. Geography and did not want to spend 10 weeks doing 5 states per week. That would have driven everyone up the wall, including us. So instead, we thought we would start with global applications such as north, south, east, west.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want you to unpack your study or what you are contributing to the co-op. That sounds very interesting. We'll be right back.
I want to ask you guys one thing. Do you guys pray? I'm not talking about a typical prayer that everyone does before you eat lunch, but I'm talking about the prayer that actually interacts with God. Even though God already knows about you, but He wants to listen to everything from you, such as you got a good grade than previous test, or you are having a hard time because of some issues with your family or friend. Pray. It will change your life.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com. That's hva-edu.com.
Hello, my name is Oja and I live in Juba, South Sudan. In 2004, my father died, and in 2007, my mother was killed in a car accident. My aunt took me in and tried to force me to brew beer. One evening, in a drunken fit, my aunt attacked me with a knife. I ran to a school where they often take children like me in, but they now have more than 950 students and can't afford me. Won't you help?
Please consider donating to Restore Child, a humanitarian organization dedicated to helping the orphan child. You may give at www.restorechild.com. That's www.restorechild.com. Or call 1-877-745-7833.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lisa Diener, a relatively new homeschooling parent, and she's taking us on the journey of why she decided to homeschool her children and how she is doing it. It's very interesting. We're talking right now about I don't know if we could call it a thematic unit, but a lesson that you presented and how God gave you this story. Pick up where you left off. In fact, refresh our memories a little bit and start at the beginning.
As I had mentioned, we are involved in a couple of co-ops, and one of them serves about 40 families, and each parent takes a turn. You must teach or co-teach at least one topic each year. And so another parent and I had chosen U.S. geography for K-1 students, and my son Michael is in the class. And normally the director provides materials, curriculum. In this case, there wasn't anything. She just didn't have anything, and she is a great resource. So if she doesn't have something, that means, uh-oh. So we went online, of course, started doing some research and went through our materials, and I did find a lesson plan that we kind of adapted as our basis, but we did not want to do. It's a 10-week course. We did not want to do 10 weeks, 5 states a week. The kids would have been up the wall by the end. And we would have too. That would have been so dry and boring, and we just couldn't do that. And so we started with a global approach, and we talked about north, south, east, west compasses. They created their own compass in the class that works. They also did a treasure hunt 1 week to learn how to read maps and so forth. And then we started talking about the continents and God's earth. And finally, we moved into the actual states. Well, the first week of doing the states was just a few weeks ago, and the other lady went first, and she chose 9 states, and then I did 12 the following week and reviewed hers, and we're doing this all in an hour, and we do it twice. There's 2 classes. And then the following week, the week before, she had done 12 more. So I'm doing the math and figuring I have to do now 17 states in order to do our whole 50. So here we are, we started down this path, and I felt like we have to finish this. So I just cried out to God and said, Lord, I don't know how to do this in a way that is going to be interesting to these children. I need your help. And I just turned it over to Him because there was nothing I could do. And so about 3 o'clock in the morning, a week ago Wednesday, He woke me up out of sleep and gave me an idea for a story. And basically the story is about how the states, they all have personalities, basically, and they're preparing for a big wind that is coming through. And so using that story, God gave me ideas for reviewing the past several weeks. We worked in all of the new information about these 17 states, gave them some things to memorize. They learned new terminology about different weather conditions, different landforms. And again, I say, glory to God, it's a miracle that this came about. This story, and the kids seem to enjoy it. I've had moms who were just thrilled and wondering where this story came from. So it's an opportunity again to glorify God.
And you titled it The Wild and Wacky Western Whirlwind, or How the West Was Fun. That's so cute. You know, part of learning is having fun. Tell me, how do you use your background is in information technology? How do you use technology?
Yes, we do use technology in a number of ways. In terms of my educational background, I have a liberal arts degree, a BA in information systems, and with a minor in social work. So the two tie together, they mesh, because information systems is very logical and very fact-oriented. Social work is the other side of things. It's more of an art than a science. So, but they can be tied in together because there is a human element to both. You need to be logical in terms of dealing with others, but you also need to be perceptive and responsive to them. So, yes, we are using technology. To the short answer to your question, we do lots of research online. We do games. We do videos for many subject areas. We use the computer to compose some written materials, you know, word processing, although I do prefer that my children write things by hand.
That's what, yes, one of the weaknesses I've noticed is the writing. And it's just only been recently that we recognize that on SAT tests, those students who know how to do cursive handwriting score better. And they're surmising it's because their thoughts can flow quicker and smoother with the actual cursive handwriting. And the fact that they're demanding on these tests for students to do essay writing. At one point, we thought it all be done on the computer, but we've been sadly mistaken. So you've gone over a little bit about your schedule. We've talked a little bit about left and right brain in a roundabout way, because both of your degrees, one really speaks to the left side of the brain, the other speaks to the right side of the brain. And I think that's probably the biggest criticism of traditional education, is that we love students who are left-brained and very sequential and organized in their thought processes, and just love to learn for the sake of learning. And we've had a more difficult time with students who are right brain, very creative, and really want to know why they have to do what they have to do. And if it doesn't make sense to them, they're not going to bend their brain around it. And I wondered if in your two children, if you have one that's more left brain and one that's more right brain, and how you as a homeschooling parent deal with that.
Well, we're still discovering the children's talents and abilities. In fact, this year has been a blessing in that regard, to see them establish themselves in their different talents. And so as their parent, I am still learning from observing them and being their teacher full time this year.
Of course, we want them to be whole-brained. And that's what, you know, that really is the cutting edge now, is to help children develop both sides of their brain, and to be artistic and musical as well as analytical. How do you present art and music?
With music, we take piano lessons. That's one primary way that they're gaining a musical background. I also have a musical background, and so I try to give them some of the book learning, reading the notes and memorizing where they are on the lines and that sort of thing. But they have a very patient and wise piano teacher who pushes them to do their best. In terms of art, our co-op offered art lessons from a professional art teacher last fall. My daughter did that. She really enjoys art, and we will definitely pursue that again in the future. But we do rely on the co-op for a lot of that. We do some things at home, small projects, or with our other small co-op. But generally, I recognize my limitations.
You know, I'm in your home, which is a privilege because I don't usually get to interview my guests in their environment. They usually come to mine. And I see that you have some chicks here. How has that been incorporated into your, just start at the beginning of the process, and then how has that impacted your family?
Well, we've had these eggs in our home, which are now chicks as of Sunday, for about 3 weeks. And what happened was I was at the Frederick Fair last fall. There was an opportunity for something called the Schoolhouse Chick Program. It's run by volunteers from the Farm Bureau. And they were inviting teachers to sign up. You know, I assume they mean traditional classroom teachers. But I said, would you accept a homeschool co-op? And they agreed to do that, to bring the chicks here. And so the Farm Bureau volunteer brought us the eggs the first week. She brought live chickens as well, brought them into my kitchen and took them out, and the children got to meet them and learn about them. Then the next week, as the fertilized eggs began to grow in the incubator, which we've had in our home, she candled them so that the children could then see the development of the embryo inside. So it's basically been a small science curriculum for them, a unit for them. And then, of course, waiting another 2 weeks for this process to happen where these chicks had to break out of these eggs. And my children and I and my husband, we got to witness the chick completely come out of the egg. And what a wonderful experience that was.
I think it reminds us again of our Creator God, and He cares about the little things too, like those little chicks. They're just so cute. I wanted to pick one up myself. They were just darling. As I drove up, I noticed you have a lot of pets, or it seemed like a lot. You have 2 dogs, and you're in the process of adopting another dog. You have these chicks. I think maybe it would be wonderful to just talk a little bit about creating that environment in your home where you're learning and you don't even know you're learning.
Well, one of the things that pets teach all of us, I think, is responsibility and stewardship. And as you mentioned, God cares about the smallest creatures. The Bible talks about how a sparrow can't fall to the ground without His notice. And so we've actually had 2 of our chicks that passed away between Sunday and this morning. And yes, that was definitely an object lesson in, you know, that God cares that those chicks have died. But again, going back to the stewardship and responsibility, Amanda, my 10-year-old in particular, has been very diligently watching these chicks at every opportunity. For the slightest peck or crack, she's the first one that noticed a crack in the first egg. She's been making sure their water is kept clean so that they'll be able to drink, because the sawdust gets in it and soaks up the water. She doesn't want them laying on top of one another. So she's really taken to the idea of caring for, you know, these animals, the weaker ones. And then with the other animals, we're adopting a pit bull from the animal shelter. It's very gentle and beautiful. We definitely believe in second chances, as does our God. Again, I believe He has led us to this dog.
What words of advice would you give someone who is contemplating homeschooling?
Number one, I would say pray about it. Seek the advice of veteran homeschool moms and dads. They're so supportive and willing to help. I would also say always teach truth. When you were talking about the philosophy about learning, we must teach facts, whether they're scientific, mathematical, historical, or others. Our children are learning biblical truth as applied in all of these areas. We cannot compromise the truth. We're equipping them. In fact, we're really not teaching children. We're teaching young adults. And so we need to see them as the future adults. And the truth doesn't change. Our methods may vary depending on the topic, and be prepared for that. Be prepared to dive in and turn it all over to the Lord. But we are very careful, and I would encourage others to be very careful to seek godly wisdom in instilling truth in your children.
And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.